Well, I'm so glad you joined us today. I'm going to be speaking from the book of Exodus chapter 2 about Jochebed, Moses' mother, and how she was able to release what was precious to her back to God. I thought today we'd have a look at how we could learn a lesson from a mum in the Bible. Maybe some principles that we could learn. And the mother that I've chosen today is the mother of Moses. Her name is Jochebed. And, you know, many of you know the story, but really this is a story about a child that is really being oppressed by the world as it was in that day. The Pharaoh of the day has decreed that every boy must be thrown into the Nile and killed. And this mother actually goes through a process of protecting and preparing her son for a future destiny. But the key point about it is that she's prepared to release him. And today, if you like titles, I want to talk to you about release and flow. If you've got a Bible, Exodus chapter 2, but I'm going to read from the Message Bible. So if you've got another version, you may not be able to follow it easily, but it's going to come up on the screens. Exodus 2 and verse 1. A man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and had a son. She said there was something special about him, and she hid him. She hid him for 3 months. When she couldn't hide him any longer, she got a little basket boat made of, how do I say this word? Papyrus, right? Papyrus. I just wanted to see, because I was saying it wrong last night. Waterproof if the tar and pitch, and placed the children in it. Then she set it afloat in the reeds at the edge of the Nile. The baby's oldest sister found herself a vantage point, we believe this to be Miriam, a little way off, and watched to see what would happen to her. Pharaoh's daughter came down, the princess, to the Nile to bathe. Her maiden strolled on the bank. She saw the basket boat floating in the reeds and sent her maid to get it. She opened it and saw the child, a baby, crying. Her heart went out to him. She said, "This must be one of the Hebrew babies." Then his sister was before her. "Do you want me to go and get a nursing mother from the Hebrews so she can nurse the baby for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yes, go." The girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter told her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me. Listen to this, and I will pay you." The woman took the child and nursed him, and after the child was weaned, she presented him to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her son. She named him Moses, which means pulled out, saying, "I pulled him out of the water." Lord, this morning I pray that there would be revelation in this room, that we wouldn't just learn about a mother, but we would learn about how we can apply a principle of a mother's heart to a circumstance of our life today. God, I pray that this morning that there would be revelation in this place as we understand what it is to have release and flow in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've got to understand that this scripture is set in the time where, the Hebrew people are oppressed. They're actually oppressed by a Pharaoh. Why? Because every son that is born a Hebrew must be thrown into the Nile. He must be drowned. Why did the Pharaoh want to drown all the boys? Because of fear. And it's interesting because fear is often the ground that causes us to withhold, often the ground that the enemy uses to cause us to stay in control. But this story is anything but a story about being in control personally. It's about putting God in control in our circumstances. And so as we read this, we understand that there is fear that sets up the story. But I want you to know that as Christians, as those that are full of faith, we need to have a counter story whenever fear comes our way, and the counter of fear is always faith. And so we see that it's set up in a time of fear, but we look at Jochebed and realize that she actually has great faith. Now, Moses, we understand now, was very significant. We understand because we've been actively reading our Bibles and understand the significance of, at the end of Moses' life, The book that we're reading from is called Exodus because he was able to set people free. God's people were taken out of Egypt and into the promised land. So we recognize that there was significance stamped on his life. But isn't it interesting how mothers seem to have this innate act to be able to sense what their children are and who they're going to become, and therefore position them ready for what their purpose is. There's something that is not just by chance, it's divine, I believe, that's put in a mother to be able to see. But also mothers are a little bit lack a little bit of objectivity. I don't know if you noticed. When it comes to their own kids, they believe the very, very best. I was in the shopping center just recently at a food hall, minding my own business, eating my food, and there was like a 5 or 6 year old child just in the next table that, let's just say, I would have liked 5 minutes with him alone. You know, and he's just going nuts and he's talking to his mum in a certain way and he's talking about, "Mum, I want to go to this shop and I want to buy this," and carrying on. And then an older sibling came and took the child and they went off somewhere, and the mother was talking to her friend about the child. And I could not believe that she was talking about the same child that I'd just seen. She was talking about the potential and there's so much in this child. And I was like, man alive, like, mothers are a little bit obscured when it comes to seeing their children, but isn't that a good thing? Because we all needed someone who believed in us. But you see, Moses has a significant stamp on his life, so guess what? Significant faith is needed to be released to see his purpose and destiny released. But when Moses came, he was also the youngest that she had, and we all know that the youngest in the family is the best. Who's the youngest in their family? Oh, come on, don't we know it? Don't we know it? Wow, Chelsea, you're looking great this morning, but you got a prophecy shirt on there, I can tell you. That is a loud shirt. Woo! And anyway, yes, sorry if you're not the youngest in your family, but the youngest are God's chosen. I know it. I could draw out scripture on it if you want me to. I think as the youngest, it is quite special because every other child in the family has been the experimental child and you're just like, it's all open for you. You understand what I mean? And all the older children said, yeah, exactly. Resentment in your heart. Let that go in Jesus' name. But it says that she hid Moses. She hid him for 3 months. You see, I watch this and I look at this, and if we're not careful, we can see hid as a negative. But actually, a mother's greatest gift is to bring warmth and covering to their children. And sometimes to hide a child, to not release a child, to not let them out, isn't about hiding in a negative. It's actually about positioning for their future. And some of us get concerned that we feel like we're hidden. We feel like nobody's noticing us. We feel like we're not stepping into what God has for us. But today I want to stir you to understand that you have a God who cares so much about you that his timing is always perfect. We're consumed with, we want it, we want it now, the sin nature, but I want to assure you that God is never early, but he's never late. He's always on time. He always gets it right. You know, my mother, just last year, my father passed away, and as a family, we discussed about selling my mother's home. So my mother, before we put it on the market, went looking for homes, and she found this beautiful apartment. She lives in Perth, and obviously in Melbourne, we have lots of apartments. In Perth, particularly in suburban areas, they don't have many apartments at all. And she found one that was walking distance to the beach, quite a walk, a reasonable walk, but to the beach, and also near some nice coffee shops and stuff. And she got her heart set on it. She said, you know, whatever God wants, but I could see every time she went to look at it, there was more this sense of this is mine. But she kept saying to us, look, whatever the Lord wants, this apartment had been on the market for 2 years. We put her house on the market, and the parallel of how much she could afford for selling the house, she didn't want to spend any extra money, was like almost perfect, what she could buy this apartment for as opposed to selling her house. But the market is quite flat over there. And the reason this apartment's been on for 2 years is it's brand new, but the market's flat. So she puts her house on the market and it's not selling and there's a bit of concern building. And anyway, I get a call from the real estate agent of the unit and he says, there's an offer coming in for the apartment. Do you want to put an offer in? And I don't know about you, sorry, real estate agents in the room or online, but often you feel like they say that, but you're not sure if it's actually true. And so I said, no, look, it's fine. He rings me the next day and he says, I'm sorry to say that apartment has sold. And I'm like, oh, how am I going to tell Mum this? She's got a heart set on that, not looked at anything else. The very next day, within 24 hours, her house sells. Now we've got nothing for her to go into. We're trying to take her on a process of my father's died. She's moving out of that established home into an apartment. Some of it is because what she wants to believe and what she believes in God for. And part of it is us as kids trying to get her settled into the next phase of her plan. And so you've got all these emotions of what's going on? And it's in those moments, do you trust God or do you trust your own decision? My mum's response was, I feel good about it. God will sort it out. The next day, the real estate agent who is selling my mum's house rings me and says, hey, there's this new apartment that's just been dropped in price significantly. Do you think your mum would be interested? I said, sure, let's go and have a look. But I knew she had a heart set on this. And now that was the definition of what she wanted. She goes to this apartment and rings me excited. She says, you're never going to believe this. But 2 years ago, me and your dad went in this apartment. And I said to her, is that the one that we used to drive past on the beach? And Dad would always say, oh, I'd love to live here, son. He's got an English accent for those that don't know. And, oh, I'd love to live here, but we can't afford it. And so I'm like, wow, you know. So, and she goes, the very one we walked into, but it was $200,000 over our budget, so we dismissed it. But the price had dropped. So that it meant that Mum would actually have more money in hand than the other apartment. So we put in an offer expecting them to counter. They didn't counter. And this weekend, my mum is in that apartment in the perfect timing of God. Not just the house that she would like, but the one that Dad, before he went, said, I wanted to live there. Gave her an extra measure of comfort. You see, my God's timing is always right. Stop looking at, I'm in hiding. Why isn't it happening? Understand that God's got it under control. He's making a way. His timing is always right. But you see, the story goes on, and so does my... Because 3 months is what was stated. The word three, or the number three, sorry, in the Bible actually speaks of completion. So often we think, oh, we're only halfway through the story. But actually, God has milestones that He's purposing for your life. Ultimately, He has a destination for you. And most of us are living in what the destination will look like rather than understanding that He has milestones along the way. Enjoy the journey because God has purposed it for you. Stop living so far ahead or living in your past that you miss what God has for you today. But you see, here is this moment of 3 months. She couldn't hide him anymore. It seemed like it was going to be bad, that she was going to throw him out into the river. What was going to happen? But actually, this was perfect timing. Not hidden, just God's timing. But to save her son, she made a basket. A basket is interesting because a basket is actually, I didn't realize this till I was reading about it, but the basket is where what we now put our children in, a crib or a bassinet, came from. It came from this concept of Jochebed making a basket for safekeeping, warmth, to be able to be looked after while it was floating down the river. So when we think of a bassinet, it's a safe place. It's a protected place. It's a comfortable place. It's a warmth place. So that when your parents release you into that bassinet, you're actually still safe and warm and cared for. So you see that the significance of what's happening here is she released this basket, but the basket is a vehicle to take him to his destiny. We need to recognize that what she did was put him in the water. What does water speak of? It speaks of life. So she was actually releasing him into his purpose, into his life. What does the water also talk about? It says that she put him into the river. Rivers, direct parallel, is something that flows from one destination to another. So in other words, this was going to be the vehicle that was going to carry him from where he was to his destiny. So we need to recognize that if we will be prepared to release what we want to control into the hands of God, He'll take us from where we are now to our future destiny. Now, the interesting part about this is, what is the vehicle that we use today? Because some of us would look a little awkward in a bassinet. Pastor Tim, you would look a little awkward in a bassinet. But the truth is that a vehicle is what's required. And from this principle, we've got to understand that flow is something that takes us from where we are to where we need to go. So ultimately, this story is about destiny. It's not about the moment that they're stuck in. It's actually about the future that God has planned for them. So they need to get themselves. She needed to find a vehicle that was going to be appropriate to take him where he needed to go. The vehicle that is appropriate for us today is the church. Oh, this basket wasn't that significant. But I want to encourage you that we don't promote the church because it's all about planet shakers and how can we get bigger. We promote the church because the Lord said in the New Testament, this is His bride. This is His most treasured possession. This is the thing that He's chosen to use to bring Jesus' name to the earth, to help people to understand who Jesus is. But some of us get caught on the negativity. This thing was made out of tar and pitch. It wasn't that spectacular, but it did its purpose of delivering Moses into his destiny. The church, I want to tell you, I've been here now for my whole life, but since I got saved, 30 plus years, and where I am today in comparison to where I was 30 years ago is spectacular to watch how God has used me to step into all I have. So today I want to encourage you, don't come up with your own plan, step into God's plan for your life. This is the vehicle He's planned for you, so jump in it and let it take you on a flow that was purpose for each one of you. So the interesting thing is, she was very aware that she wasn't able to protect Moses going forward. She was very aware that as soon as she let him go, it was out of her hands and in the hands of God. She recognized there was a cruel leader on earth at that time. His name was Pharaoh. And he was looking to kill these little boys. So in the natural, I'm releasing him to his death today. But actually, she released him into the river in a vehicle. She released him into the flow of his future destiny. But the key word here is that she released. Many of us find it very hard to release control of our life. Release control of our finances. We saw Pastor Russell on the screen before and we talked about how we're about to have a miracle offering. And as soon as we hear that, we can go into, oh no, the church is all about your money and all at once is this and that. Or we can walk into it embracing that this is a God moment for us in a time where we should be fearful about the economy, fearful about the opportunities. What do? We have a faith response that says, God, I'm going to give into the house of God and I'm going to see something happen through my life. But you see, we've got to release. It's an outward action. It's not an inward action. And many of us are consumed with, if I just hold on to it, I will be in control. But if you've lived long enough, you realize you can try and make it work. But guess what? We're not in control even when we think we are. But He is, because He's given a unique purpose and plan for each and every one of us. So it's time for us to understand that we should release as opposed to lose. She wasn't losing Moses, she was releasing Moses. There's a big difference in the way we think if we're prepared to release. You see, but then she releases him and the Bible says that the basket got stuck in the bulrushes. Another negative word. You know, we look at this and we see that he got stuck and oh, he didn't get flow and didn't go with what was happening. But again, there's no such thing as stuck in the economy of God. Some of you may feel stuck. You may feel like nothing's happening. You're not moving forward. You feel like you're progressing backwards. You feel like the river is flowing and you're still here and things are moving on. But I want to assure you again today that you have a God whose timing is perfect and He's not about getting you stuck, but He's about getting you positioned. Interesting, if he'd just flowed down the river, he would have never stopped in front of where the princess was about to bathe. Was this by coincidence or was this by destiny? You see, he got stuck at the right time. Sometimes God causes you to feel like you're under constraint, but I want to tell you, he's a righteous God. He's a God that's going to come through with his word for you. He's a God that is yesterday, today, and forever the same, and he's got a plan that goes beyond what your circumstances may look like today. I remember when I was working in the building industry and my father said to me, son, you're not doing too well at school. I know you find it hard to believe looking at me, but if I was in school today, I would have had every ADHD drug that is possible to try and calm me down. I could focus for at least 30 seconds per class, and formal education at that stage in my life was just not happening. So my dad was a smart man and he positioned me and he managed to get me an apprenticeship in carpentry. So I was doing that, and at the same time I was playing basketball, very similar to Steph Curry, that type of level. And for some of it went over your head, but go Golden State. But anyway, and I was playing basketball and I was in a semi-final and I rolled my ankle and I did an ankle injury that I couldn't recover from. So much so, after I went to all the doctors, and this is a story for another time, that I actually had an incurable ankle problem, and it wasn't until many years later that I got totally healed of that. But that's another story. But anyway, I had this ankle problem, so they put me in the office of the building company. It was a larger building company, and I'd never met the managing director of the company. I knew of him. His name was Des Watson. One day I was in the office after about 5 weeks and he walks into my office and he pulls up a chair and he sits down. And I was a bit like, wow, this is the big boss in my office. Am I in trouble? Is this the end? You know how we generally think of the negative rather than the positive. And he sat down and I said, can I help you, Mr. Watson? Sounded like something out of a Sherlock Holmes movie, but that was his name. And anyway, he said, Neil, I was quite impressed he even knew my name, but he said, Neil, you've done really well in the office and I know you're doing a carpentry apprenticeship, but we feel we should offer you something that nationally we have people involved in this, but in Western Australia we have nobody. And we think we would like to offer you a construction cadetship, which is we will pay for you to go to college to get your builder's ticket so that you can become a qualified builder, as well as working, and we'll give you all the opportunity to see that come to pass. Now, as a young guy, carpentry was good. This sounded like an office job. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was nice to him, but I went home and told my dad, and as all dads think, don't be stupid, son, go for that. You know, it pays you more money, better opportunity. And I was like, okay, and I did it. And that transitioned me through a season, but isn't it interesting that now in Austin, and in East, and in our Geelong campus, and even here, and what's happening in South Africa right now, we've got all these building programs, and for some reason, they always default to me. But was it by chance that I hurt my ankle? I'm not saying God did it, but what I am saying, he used that circumstance to position me, because he could project 30 years ahead, because he knows all things. And if I just put my confidence and my trust in him, he would position me. Not, I wasn't stuck with an ankle problem. I was positioned for his purpose. Some of you today need to get some faith to your fear response and recognize you're not stuck. You're not out of the timing of God. You're not missing what he's got for you. He's got you perfectly positioned for your future, and he wants you to step into it. Jochebed was a woman of faith. She released him into his destiny. So with that in mind, the Pharaoh's daughter picks him up. He's a Hebrew boy. Miriam was spying out what was going to happen. And then suddenly you hear that she's on the shore and she says, would you like me to find somebody? The great part of this story, this isn't just about Moses' destiny. This is about Jochebed's destiny. Because Jochebed gets the opportunity not just to release her son, but because she had the ability to trust God, God sets it up. So now, within one day, she's in the palace. She's protected. She's got a better style of life even for herself. She's able to continue to teach her son the Hebrews ways, which actually helps her because ultimately Moses knows that he's a Hebrew, and at the right time he sets God's people free, but it was because his mother stayed with him the whole time. But not only that, she stayed with him, nurtured him, looked after him like any other mother would do, but they paid her for it as well. Hey, how many mums here would go, could someone pay me for this, please? Do you realise how many hours I put in? Oh, this is a good story. Some of your mothers are like, I should have released my kids a long time ago. But the truth is that God is releasing not just her, but he's also releasing the son. This isn't a story about his advantage. Parenting isn't just about what your kids get. It's also about you positioning your kids so that God can position you. You're not stuck. You're not hidden. You're actually positioned, ready for what God is about to do in your life. This is about destiny. You see, he actually rose up to save Egypt. He came to a place of destiny. Jeremiah 29 is one of my favorite passages. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 1 says, cast your bread upon the water, for you will find it again in many days to come. Sometimes we can't see what God's up to, but don't lose faith and confidence in a God who loves you so much that he's got a purpose, a plan that's greater than what you can see, and his timing is always perfect. His timing is what he always had planned. If you just put your trust in him rather than taking control yourself, you can step into all he has for you. Moses was not born in the palace, but he was destined for it. Destiny is not where you've come from, but it's where you're going. And let's not be so consumed with what hasn't happened, that I've been hidden, that I can't seem to break through, I'm stuck. Breakthrough is us recognizing that God's got it under control, and we continue to give him the glory for it. Do you trust God this morning? I was sitting in our cafe just a few weeks ago with a contractor. He was helping us specifically with something that one of our business people in the church knew of him, and he could help us with his technical expertise, one of our properties overseas. And so I met with him to talk to him about it. I showed him the video that we often show dignitaries and guests when they come to church that aren't from a Christian background, to show them all the things that are happening. And when they see that, you know, there's millions of people and there's online viewers and all these things, they always are like, wow. At the end of this video, this man began to talk to me, and we were there for another reason, but and trust me, he definitely wasn't refined in his accent or in his language. It's probably a better word. There was a few words that most of us wouldn't be able to put up with for too long. Well, every second word in his vocabulary was a word like that. And I was sitting in CL, and as one of the, you know, leaders in the church, I'm aware that people are like, who the heck's he sitting with? Because it was loud. But he said, I had this moment about 5.5, 6 years ago where I got invited to go on a humanitarian trip to Sri Lanka. And I went on it, and when I got there, he called me Padre, this guy. He kept saying Padre. He dropped one of these, you know, words, and then he'd go, oh, sorry, Padre. But he wasn't that sorry because he kept dropping them. But anyway, he said, oh, Padre, I went to Sri Lanka. And when I got there, I didn't realise, but one of your kind was there, another Padre. I was like, I don't know if that's a good thing, one of my kind. And he said, I went there and I helped out in local orphanages and churches and different things. And it wasn't hugely impacting until the second last day. I was walking through the street, and this lady that was a bit dishevelled, and she didn't look like a beggar, but she had a child, and she came up to me and said, sir, will you give me $100? And he looked at her, and the people who were with him gave him advice, don't give her money, she's just a beggar. He said, but I felt this weird sense of I should give her something. So I, and he used a few expletives, I did. But I actually gave her 200 rather than 100. He said, I don't know why, but I just did. It was at that moment that I felt this incredible sense of future that I would play a part in something in Sri Lanka. Said something, his word, something got released in me. I don't know what that means. That's what he said. I'm like wanting to say, I know what that means, but I didn't say, I just sort of sat there. He said, so as I was leaving, I said to the padre, Padre, if you ever need anything, email me. He said, I never heard from him. 5 years later, he emailed me. He said, sir, I'm wanting to build a school. Is there any way that you could either raise or give me some money? He said, my business right at that moment had just gone into insolvency, one of my businesses. It was the worst time to ask me for money. And my natural response was to email back. But for some reason, I was about to email back, I can't help you. And I just thought, no, I've got to do something. I'm not a bad fundraiser. So I wrote back to him, I will pay for a ticket to come if you can set me up with some people, business people, and I'll ask them and see if we can raise money. And on the last night I'm there, we'll have a fundraiser and we'll see if we can raise you the $100,000. He met with people when he arrived, the pastor set him up. It wasn't going well. He got to the fundraiser and I think he said there was about 70 or 80 people there. By towards the end of the night, they had $21,000. And he's like, wow, that's a long way off 100 and it's good for them, but it's not going to build them the school. He said, so I had this harebrained idea in the middle of it. You know, a spontaneous thing. I just said, if there's five people who'll give $10,000, I'll give $10,000 as well. And he said, I didn't think it all through, but that still wouldn't make 100, but it'd be good. The place goes silent. He said, it wasn't working. Until this lady stands up and she starts walking up. I don't know what was going on, but she's walking up to people, her back to me, right in their faces. And then it was like, she said whatever she said, then they would stand up and they go, I'll give 10,000. She said seven or eight people stood up and said, I'll give 10,000. Then she came walking back to her seat and she stood at her seat and she said, I'll give 50,000. He was like, wow, awesome. We did it. His words were, actually, I was thinking I did it. I was pretty awesome. That's what he said. Then he starts to cry, sitting in our cafe. Big building guy, weeping like a baby. You know that type of weeping when stuff's coming out your nose and you... He said, the lady comes up to me and I said to her, what were you doing with those people? She said, I told them you wouldn't have your money if it wasn't for my business supplying to you. Get up and give $10,000. Or otherwise, I won't use your business anymore. I think that might be control, not releasing it to the hands of God. He said, wow, what is your business? She said, I'm one of the largest fashion suppliers in the country. She said, I want to tell you how it started. I was in a destitute situation. And I didn't even really believe in God, but I felt like God spoke to me and said, go out on the street today and ask somebody for $100. He said, so I went out with my baby under my arm and I looked for a Westerner because I thought they had money. She said, sir, you obviously don't remember me, but it was you I asked for $100. She said, the reason $100 because I could buy a sewing machine. You gave me 200, so I bought two and got one of my friends working with me. And we've established one of the biggest businesses in Sri Lanka because of your release. I want you to understand, the flow comes from release. You want to see the flow of God in your life? You want to see the breakthrough? You want to see His glory come to your circumstance? Then learn from Jokabara. Mom, here on Mother's Day, she had the most precious thing in her life, in her hands, her child, and rather than hold on, she released. It's not natural, it's supernatural. Letting go and out of our control. But I want to tell you, we have a Father in heaven who gave us the greatest principle of release. He released the most precious thing He had, His one and only Son, that whoever believed in Him would not perish, but step into everlasting life. I'm so glad you joined us today. I hope you enjoyed the message. Have a great week. And anything else you want to know about Planet Shakers, head to planetshakers.com.